So we're starting a new series. It's called Guidance, Making Wise Decisions. How many of y'all can honestly say in your life, you've made some really bad decisions? Let me see hands. Those of you that didn't raise a hand, you made the worst decision. That's not to pay attention to your decisions. So let me just interview a few people in your life and we'll decide whether you've made all good. Let me tell you, making decisions, the right ones, is really challenging. You will get to wherever you get in life by the choices and the decisions you make. So there's everything at stake at making good, wise decisions. So we're going to kind of lay a groundwork for this. We're going to work on it every week because there's nothing greater than knowing that God is guiding you. I mean, the thought of being on your, if you got saved and these people get baptized and God goes, you're on your own, figure it out. Can you imagine? I mean, life is so challenging and difficult. And you've got to start with two premises to me about guidance. Number one, all of us have a broken, I used to say compass. Kids today don't even know what a compass is, but they know what a GPS is. So all of us have a broken GPS. Have you ever had GPS send you to the wrong? My wife and I got stuck in a Twilight Zone circle in Scotland at midnight with a GPS that took us off into some cattle road, and we're circling, and I kept coming back to the same spot. I mean, and my wife's like, honey, what's the worst? So we'll spend the night in the car and lock the windows. That didn't help bring peace. And she started crying. I'm not going to spend the night in a car. It's a strange country. That GPS, if I could have got my hands on it, I'd have pulled it out and pounded it right there. Turned around, he just kept telling me that. And the bad part is I kept listening. I kept doing the loop. Some of you are doing that with your life because you think your GPS is working. Let me help you. We all have, the Bible says it this way, all we like sheep have gone astray. Everyone has turned to their own way. That's not good. So number one, you got a broken GPS. We'll talk about those that don't think so later. Number two, you have a real enemy. In fact, in the Lord's Prayer that we're going to look at in a minute, he gets near the end, he teaches us to pray, Father, deliver us from evil. Actually, it says, deliver us from the evil one. Because he can come and deceive. He can come and set snares and traps and set up diabolical lies and deception. So if you think you're just neutral, and I'm just living in life, making my own mind up. Number one, you got a broken GPS. Number two, you got a real enemy that wants to bring you into wrong decisions. Now, Jesus sets up guidance in the form of prayer, and he sets this model in Matthew chapter 6. Let's just say it together because most of us have it memorized, and then we'll look at a few of the lines in the Lord's Prayer. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us of our trespasses as we forgive those who have trespassed against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. It's a majestic prayer. And it's good to have memorized, but it's not meant to just say it by memory. It's meant to be prayed through as in big topics. And you take the big themes and it covers every area of life. But this morning, Jesus puts this prayer in the context of don't think God is like the pagans believe he is, people that believe in seeking guidance in unholy ways, according to the Bible. There's a lot of ways to seek guidance. And the sad thing is Christians get sucked into some of them, palm readers, tarot cards, Ouija boards, astrology, zodiac signs, following the stars. Those are all forbidden in the Bible. Do not take this path for guidance. They'll lead you. Sure, they may give you some insight into things, but it comes with the price of the enemy setting hooks in you. So Jesus says you don't have to have a God that you have to wear him down with just saying the same things over and over and over again, vain repetition, because he's a father. Now let's just pick up in Matthew chapter 6, look at verse 8. Jesus said, do not be like them, for your Father. Now he's speaking to believers. You can't claim this if you haven't said yes to Jesus as your Lord. Not everybody's God's child. As a creation, we're made in the image of God that's been defiled through sin. But as salvation, only those that have said yes to Jesus as Lord can say, Father, my Father, our Father. So he says, do not be like them, for your Father, I love this, knows what you need before you ask. You don't have to give him the information. He's not too busy and didn't notice. And you can start prayer with knowing God knows everything there is to know about the situation. So he doesn't need to be brought up to speed. Let me bring you up to speed, Lord, from my perspective, the way things are going here. No, you got to start with a premise that he knows everything. Not just that. Not just that. He invites you to pray. Why would you pray if he knows everything? If he knows what you need before you ask, then why ask? Because he designed our life to be lived in relation with him as a father who guides us. Now, I get it. Some of you may have had a bad father. Maybe had no father. Maybe had a dysfunctional father. All of you had a dysfunctional father. The people that think their dad was perfect is probably the most dysfunctional. Pride is a terrible thing. But you know, you could have had a good dad. I'm not negating that. I had a good dad. He had his brokenness in his life, and as every human does. But nobody has a perfect father, but the Heavenly Father is a perfect father. He can be trusted. So Jesus says, well, I'm going to teach you about guidance here, but I want you to anchor it in a relationship with the Father. So he says this in the Lord's Prayer. He says, when you pray, you should say, our Father. He's anchoring it in who the Father is. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. So, first of all, he's advocating that we pray for the end of the world. This is a dangerous prayer. Churches pray it, some churches every Sunday. Do you know that you're praying for your kingdom to be destroyed in your life when you pray this prayer? We all have a kingdom. We start it at young age, at 2. Mine! Mine! You take a lollipop from a little kid, you'll see whose kingdom you just violated. He said, little babies, they sit in those high chairs and bang on it, the king of the universe. Because your job is to wait on me. Your job is to serve me. Your job is to feed me. Your job is to keep me happy. And the sad thing is, some of us never grow out of that. I got married thinking much of those things. You want a recipe for disaster? Go into the marriage thinking your wife should be like your mama was. Ladies, feel free to tell your husband anytime you need to, I ain't your mama. Get your own Sammy. That was a sad day in my life. My kingdom was being shaken. When you say thy kingdom, the kingdom means what God rules over. So God doesn't share well. He doesn't play nicely with people that try to take his place. There's only room for one on the throne, and he's on it. So when I say, Lord, let your kingdom come, it's translated, push Jamie off his throne and establish your will in his life. Now, that's not what I meant by it. When you say, let your kingdom come, you're asking God to step into this world and turn it upside down and destroy evil and bring the new heavens and the new earth. It's the end of the world you're praying for, which is a wonderful thing. And the end of my kingdom is a wonderful thing, but it's a painful thing. He says, when you pray for the kingdom to come, part of that coming kingdom is thy will be done. Say it with me. Thy will be done. Most important thing in guidance that you're going to learn this morning is wanting the will of God. Why would you want his will done? Think about it for a minute. Or you could ask the question this way. Why would you not want his will done? To say, I want your will means take authority over what I want, what I like, what I hope for and dream. Why would I pray that? Because I have a father who has more wisdom than if you put the whole world together with every AI computer and try to map out a great life. They'd never come up with a plan that God has for each of us. Doesn't mean it's an easy plan. Doesn't mean that you'll understand the whole plan. Here, it may take another world to clarify why this happened, why that didn't happen. But ultimately, God has the wisdom to know what's best. Some of you are old enough to remember that TV show, Father Knows Best. I mean, Dad just always knew the right thing to say at the right time. The Heavenly Father, He knows. He knows. He knows. Not only knows what I need, He knows how I'm wired. He knows how I'm made up. He knows what means the most to me. He knows. But that's not enough. Just because God knows, you got to trust that His plan is best. Even if you don't know it, understand it, you've got to have that confidence, that faith that says, my God knows what I need better than anybody on the planet. So, you want guidance? You need to start with the premise that God has a will. That means He has a plan. That means He's calculated before you were born things He wanted to see accomplished in your life. The enemy, on the other hand, has a plan too, to stop that plan from being done on earth as it is in heaven. He wants any plan but God's plan. There are people that make good decisions without God. They are successful in life without God. Have you ever met someone that just said, basically, I got all I need. I got all I need. Life's good. Got all I need. That's a great statement unless the word all doesn't include God. I got all I need. God would just be an interruption. Why would I want Him? I'm doing just fine. The danger is successful people don't realize their need for Jesus as much as some of us that have struggled deeply. You've been through a broken marriage. You walk with a broken limp. You know the pain of that. You know you need Jesus. No man's going to save you. Sorry. No woman's going to save you. You need Jesus. You've gone through broken finances. You've gone through bankruptcy. You know what it is to struggle and to fail. You know what it is to make unwise business choices or decisions. You know you need God. But if all your decisions turn out well, you don't need to check in. Why would I check with God? I'm doing really good here. C.S. Lewis, the great philosopher, Christian philosopher, he wrote The Lion, the Witch, the Wardrobe, and Screwtape Letters, and just he's an amazing man. He's in heaven. He said this: there's only two kinds of people in the world. The Bible's really simple. Faith makes things not easy. Simple doesn't equal easy. It's really simple to discover the will of God. Simple. But it's not easy to do the will of God. We'll get to that in a minute. He said there's two kinds of people in the world. First kind are the people that God looks at them and says, It's the people that say to God, thy will be done. That's one kind of person. Who are you in this scenario? Don't blurt out the answer. But just think, am I the person that says to God, I want your will in my life, thy will be done. You tell God, you're giving God your yes. That's a surrender. The second kind of person is that God looks at them in the end and says, your will be done. I let you have what you wanted. Do you know that people in hell choose to be there? People in hell choose, as C.S. Lewis calls them, to become successful rebels. I proved nobody could tell me what to do, including God. I did it my way. I did it on my own terms. I'd rather reign in hell than serve in heaven, as the old saying goes. I'm not going to surrender my will. I'm not going to have another being tell me what to do. We worship independence in America that is unbelievable. People protest and rant that they have the right to choose to kill a baby. You have that responsibility from God. It's a terrible responsibility, freedom of choice. It's a horrible burden that I could make a choice to terminate a pregnancy because it's inconvenient, unplanned. But I've got the right to choose. In the face of God, you could apply that to whatever area of life that people tell God what they will do or they won't do. That's the second group of people where God says, your will be done. The worst thing God could do to you is ignore you and let you do whatever you want to do. That's what Romans 1 teaches us. God turned them over to their own wickedness. Just go do what you're going to. You got to understand God entrusted us with the burden of making wise choices. He entrusted us with the freedom. We're not robots. God's not going to make you get baptized. God's not going to make you read the Bible. God's not going to make you pray. God's not going to make you trust Him. God's not going to make you worship Him. He invites you. He tells you how much He loves you. He wants you to want His will. Why would we not want His will? Because it's inconvenient. Because it's painful. See, knowing God knows best, trusting that is part of the battle. Then comes my surrender to give Jesus my yes. Some of you have not done that yet in your life. You've given Jesus your maybe, or you've given Jesus your yes 30 years ago, but it's been no ever since. You're in that other people group. God's going to say, I'm going to let you have your own way. Your will be done. I'm not going to make you love me. I want people to love me because they love me, not because I force them to love me. Jesus said, thy will be done. It should be our prayer, but it takes a surrender. I have to say to God at times, God, I don't want what I want, even though I want it. I want what you want. Be honest with Him. He doesn't go, really? You don't want that? He knows that. But God, my Father, wants to establish His will in my life in me first before any decision is made, before anything's changed outwardly. Get this. It'll help you. It'll save you hours of paying for a counselor. You start with, I need God's will in me before I do anything or say anything or think anything or choose anything. I need to know that God has captured me, that He's brought His peace into me before I even make a wise. Because you can make a wise decision with a bad heart. Do you know that? There are people that do make smart decisions, wise decisions, but they didn't do it out of surrender to God. They did it out of independence and trusting in themselves. Then it never leads, it leads to that independence of I don't really need God. He's an interruption. I want God to interrupt me. God interrupted my life at 18 and ruined it. He ruined every plan I had. He ruined every relationship I had. But He redeemed my life. And what He took needed to go. And what He gave needed to stay. Only when you trust that His will is best and you give Him your yes, that's surrender. Thy will be done. Now, that's not enough. You're not there yet. It may feel like you got somewhere. You let God, God's working in your heart. You're doing the right thing for your wife for the right reasons. You're not manipulating. You're not trying to coerce her. You've surrendered your heart to show her love in a way that she needs it, and God's calling you to do it, but it costs you. It costs you. I'll never forget when God said, you need counseling. It's never good when God tells you that, and you're the pastor. And that's what you do. You help other people. All my life, I've told other people what to do. And it's been good stuff. But I couldn't tell myself what to do. My GPS is broken. Do you know how shameful it was for me as a pastor to go to a counselor? It was horrible. I mean, I had a bag over my head with the eyes cut out, and I've been here my whole life. I can't go anywhere without seeing somebody I know and not really usually remembering who they are. And so, and some of them don't like me. Shocker, but they don't. I mean, it's just, so I'm in a counselor's office with a bag over my head, and I'm like, how did I end up here? Because I didn't surrender my yes to his will. I ignored his warnings, and I ended up in the counselor's office. No shame in that. But for me, it was just pride. I looked up on the wall, and it says, except a grain of wheat falls to the ground and dies, it will remain alone. So some of you, you can remain alone and have your way. Or you can fall to the ground and die, and you'll move from being a single seed to reaping a harvest. And in that moment, I sat in there and said, God, I give you my yes. Whatever has to die, let it die. Whatever has to go, let it go. Let the change start here, not there, here. We want God to change this so this doesn't have to change. The will of God starts in me, in you. Draw a circle, step in it, say, God, let your will happen in this. Now, you're going to be in a much different place to make wise choices. Now, let's say you make the wise choice. The third thing is, not only do you have to trust God knows what's best, number two, you got to give him your yes, but number three, you got to find God's strength to do what he's told you to do, because you can't do it on your own. That's why these bracelets are worthless, that people would wear WWJD. What would Jesus do? First of all, nobody really knows often what Jesus would do. He'd shock you what he would do. But second of all, even if you know what he would do, that doesn't mean you can do it. Jesus would forgive that person, but I hate them. I know it's the will of God. I've given him my yes. I've got to forgive. Help. And God says, come on, let's do it together. You do the will of God with God, not for God. You walk holding the Dad, I'm afraid to walk this out. Son, get my hand. Get my hand. You walk with me, and let's go face these giants together. And when you're gripping the Father's hand, you're never alone. He didn't just tell you, go do it. He said, let's go do it together. He didn't just say, this is my will, go do it. He said, grab my hand. I'll walk with you through the fire. I'll walk with you through the hard time. We'll do this thing together, and on the other side, we'll give each other a high five. Come on. We walk through it together. That's better than you walking through it and getting on the other side, and I got no one to give high five to but to myself, and I give myself all the credit. That's pride. And I'm going to tell you, at some point at the end, you can make all the great worldly decisions you want. You're going to stand before God, and he's going to say, did you do my will, or did I just let you do your will? Because when I do my will, it never leads to the heavenly ordered plan of God. It's just Jamie's wisdom. And I know enough to know I don't know. Can you start there today? You don't know. You need help and guidance. Now, maybe you're always in the place of helping others have wisdom, and that's great. But you got to take your own. When you're seeking counsel, I had a friend, Bob, told me, he's in heaven now. He taught his sons this. He said, when you seek counsel, don't seek your own counsel first. If you check with you, you will usually agree with you. I like me. I'm a good guy. And I think that's a good thing. Do you agree? I agree. I agree with me. Me and me. We agree. Now, you're really broken with when you and you don't agree. Now, that's a whole nother split deal, whatever going on. I don't know. Mine's just pride. Yours is really, you're fractured, you know. Me and me and the other me, all four me's agree. Well, one's out, three are in. You know, that counseling can help that, pull you back together. Anyway, I'm not ashamed to say I need God the Father to guide me. I need His wisdom. I need His strength. I need His courage. I need Him to guide me. Not just Jesus didn't come and point the way. Jesus came and said, I am the way. That means if you're going to walk in God's will, you're going to walk with Jesus. You cannot walk in God's will without Jesus. He wants to walk with you. He wants to go through the valley of the shadow of death. Holding your hand, you're not alone. I've already walked through here. I've already faced death. I've already defeated him. You don't have to fear him. I beat him. I knocked him out, cut off his head. We win when you walk with Jesus. Amen? Amen. So I'm going to re-ask the question, why wouldn't you want the will of God in your life? Well, because it could be inconvenient, probably. Could be interruptive. Could be. Could be painful. Yeah. God doesn't seem to care about bruising my pride. Have you ever gone to God and asked Him to heal your pride? No, no, it's not a prayer. God doesn't hear every prayer. If you're praying for God's protection to rob a bank, you're not praying a good prayer. Let me help you. Let's start with thy will. God doesn't steal. Let's start there. Oh, God, help her. You know, I could give you 19 illustrations. Some of you could come up with them on your own. You've prayed those prayers. Better to stop and say, what I'm about to do is sin. I don't have to pray about doing sin. I don't have to ask God if He wants me to sin. I don't have to plead with God to protect me while I sin. I'm in dangerous territory because I'm walking in my own independence, my own rebellion, and my own sin. And if God protects you, it's only because of His mercy. It's not because what you're doing is the right thing to do. So, if you've fallen flat on your face with bad decisions, good for you. Good for you. I hope you broke your nose in it. Door slammed in your face. I hope so, because if you don't learn your lesson now, they only get more serious as you get older. You get things wrong. You can get to a point where you don't want to get them right. But there's nobody in this room that has made a bad decision that God can't lift you out of that and pray for His now. Not to just get out of the bad decision, but to get your heart surrendered to God. Remember, the will of God starts in me first. Even before I can make a good decision, I got to have His peace. I got to have a sense the Holy Spirit is working in me. I got to have a sense that I've surrendered to Him. I don't trust me. I pray for the Holy Spirit to give you a healthy distrust in yourself. Healthy. Not a morbid, I'm no good, I'm bad, I'm stupid. That's just evil. I'm talking about a healthy sense that I can fool myself. And I got an enemy that knows that. And he can help me get fooled. I could sit up here the rest of the morning and you'd miss lunch telling you about Christians over the years that made decisions that if they would have asked the bag boy in Publix, he would have said, no, I don't think that's a good idea. With acne all over his face, no degree in anything. I don't know that that's a good plan. I think I'd check with somebody before I do that. Like the guy, I know these are horrible stories, but the guy that showed up in my office and his hand is in this giant bandage. Giant. Like, dude, what happened? Well, he had cheated on his wife. Okay, that's horrible. Okay, and he felt horrible for cheating on her. So he thought the best thing to do was to show her how sorry he was. And he was a butcher. And he hacks off this ring finger. He wraps it up in meat paper with his ring on it. And he gives it to his estranged wife. I'm sitting in my office going, do, 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 do. And he couldn't understand why she put a restraining order on him. I leaned over and I said, because you're an idiot. That's why I don't do counseling. A good counselor would have said, well, let's think about the process of this decision. I'd say, dude, you're an idiot. That was evil. You were listening. He said, no, God led me to do it. I said, God didn't lead you to do it. You're an idiot. That's why you did it, and you didn't check. Who'd you check with? I checked with myself, yeah. And I just knew that this, he saw it in some movie. There's some stupider movie out there. And you can read The Power of Ugly to see in the footnote what I really wanted to tell him, but you'd have to read my book on that. All right, because I said it in church, some of you probably wouldn't come back next week. All right, we're wrapping up. Land the plane before you get in trouble. I could be bribed afterwards, though. So listen, it's not easy. It's not easy. Living life, all the decisions we got to make. Where am I going to go to school? Who am I going to marry? What's my occupation going to be? How do I deal with this difficult situation? How do I deal with this cancer diagnosis? How do I deal with my children's lives blowing up? Lives filled with so many decisions that are way above our pay grade. Way above. And it's okay to know that. But it's okay to know who can handle it. He's got big shoulders. Big hands. He can handle the worst of our lives, the messes. So start today saying, God, I want to trust that your will's best. Start there. Help me get there, Father, where I'd so trust you that I know that if you gave me every option available, I would never pick as well as you could pick. Now, again, not going to all be seen here. Some of you that have lost loved ones, you're not going to see to the other side. Things come together. Makes sense. It's not going to all make sense here. That's where you trust. Not because you understand. You trust because of his heart. That he's good. That God is good, as they say, all the time. It's a white church sometimes. I'm just telling you. It's just a white church. How do I help you? God is good all the time. Thank you. Even when it doesn't feel like it, he's still good. Even when it doesn't look like it, he's still good. Even when I can't understand it, he's still good. How do I know? Because he sent his son to die on the cross. He showed me his heart forever, his goodness and kindness, and the wisdom of God that could let his son die for our redemption. If I can trust that, you can trust anything. It's the glory of God. He's good. Thy will be done. Thy will be done. Let's pray. Just take a moment, and many of you have made that surrender. You've got that trust. You may battle up and down, but walking it out, needing help. But some of you have not yet made that surrender. You're still been fighting for your will to be done. And it's not going well for you. And it's thankfully not going to go well. I pray that it would become worse. Only that what's at risk if everything goes well without God in your life is that you'll end your life without God. Better that a life would be filled with troubles that you know you need God than a life filled with just, you know, going good. I don't need God. We desperately know we need him. So if you're here this morning or watching online, you can say a simple prayer of surrender. Give your yes to Jesus as your Lord. Just say, Jesus, come be Lord of my life. I don't want to be in charge, though I've acted like it. I want to get down off the throne and let you come and sit and rule over my life. And I'll trust you that what you do will be good. Just ask him and then thank him. He heard your cry. And then maybe you've made a mess of things and you've known better, but start over. God's a God of new beginnings. New beginnings start with a fresh trust and surrender. Give Jesus your yes again. You say, well, I've been giving him a lot of no's. That's okay. He's already said yes to being willing to forgive you. He said yes on the cross that he'd have mercy on you. He said yes on the cross to forgiving all of our sins. So he's given you his yes. You give him yours. Trust him. He wants what's best for you. He knows what's best for you. And he can enable and empower his will to be done best for you. Lord, would you just bless this time of commitment as we get ready for baptism? Lord, will these folks come with a deep sense of expectancy that you're going to meet them in the water, and as we pray over them, the Holy Spirit, you're going to come in power, wash their sins, cleanse their minds, renew them, and empower them for the work of your kingdom. In Jesus' name, amen.